Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
With us today, and we're studying Ecclesia Principles, principles of God's Word about government. Very quickly, Ecclesia, Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. The Greek word there is Ecclesia. Ultimately, it is a legislative body. If you would, to put it in a more modern terminology or vernacular, we are to be the culture builders in the earth, in our nations, in our countries, in our communities. And we're looking at things that God says that we can apply to this so that we can be doing what he's asking us to do. Today, I want to talk about jurisdictions. This is an incredible concept that we need to understand. We need to grasp what God says about jurisdictions and what they impact and how they apply, because it affects our everyday life. It affects things globally, nationally, whatever level you're talking about. The word jurisdiction ultimately comes from Latin. It's a compound word. The English piece is there. The first part is juris, and the second part is diction. Juris means law. Diction is to say or to speak. Now, according to scholarship.law.duke, EDU, Duke University, according to that site, they identify jurisdiction as being literally the power of saying what the law is. In other words, jurisdiction determines who has the right to say, who has the right to determine what happens. If you have jurisdiction, then you have the right to say what happens. Now, we're more familiar with this in the legal system, especially law enforcement. In a given county, that the sheriff's department has jurisdiction in that county. As soon as they come up to the city-county line or the county line going into another county, their jurisdiction stops at that line. Every jurisdiction has boundaries. Every jurisdiction has boundaries. And with this, if one sheriff's office, let's say they're pursuing someone and that person heads into another county, they have to submit to the next county on their role and their activity. Why? Because they no longer have jurisdiction. Even though it started within their jurisdiction, within their county, once it crosses over that line, the jurisdiction changes. Who has the right to say what happens changes. Now, this is important because everything about government is impacted by jurisdiction. You might not think about it, but if you go through the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, known as the Bill of Rights, each one of those amendments is identifying the boundaries of jurisdictions. You know, the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law. What that is identifying is that Congress's jurisdiction does not extend to this area. They do not have the right to say what happens. That's why Congress shall make no law. As you go down through those amendments, if you look at them, and I would encourage you to do that, read through the Bill of Rights and be thinking about the concept of jurisdiction, because you see each one of those first 10 have to do with jurisdiction. You see, in the Declaration of Independence, they wrote and said, talking about the unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the Constitutional Convention, the reason that the Bill of Rights was put in there was they were concerned that a day and a time would come that people would not know or understand what their rights are. Isn't that amazing? You know, it's so funny to me when people start talking about, well, there's no way the Founding Fathers could have considered this. You go back and you read their discussions. They discussed virtually every conceivable example. It's amazing to me all that they took into account. You know, they even discussed immigration issues like we've seen for the last few years. They discussed what should happen in those situations. Don't underestimate what they talked about until you look it up. But anyway, all of those rights deal with the different jurisdictions, and they put in those 10 amendments so that if education stopped teaching those rights, they would still be a part of the Constitution. They would be enumerated there. That's why it's called the Bill of Rights. It establishes who has jurisdiction over various things. Well, stay with us through this message, and we'll be right back.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
All right, ready for segment two? We're talking today about jurisdictions. Now, in this segment, what I want to identify is five jurisdictions that are prevalent in our world. Five basic ones. Now, God established four jurisdictions. Now, the fifth one that I'm going to identify is kind of an outgrowth of two of those four. And so we will mention it. We'll talk about it briefly. We'll spend more time with the other four that God specifically established. But in this, the first jurisdiction that God established was the individual or self-government. He made Adam. Adam was an individual. He took out of Adam and made Eve. Eve was an individual. And he told them, as individuals, don't eat of the tree. At that point, that established the boundary of their jurisdiction. All the world was theirs. God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Then he comes down and says, let them have dominion over all the earth. Genesis 1:26. And in that, the whole earth is under their dominion. There's only one tree that he puts a boundary around. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he says, don't eat of it. If you would, they failed the test of self-government. They did not manage themselves. Have mercy. Can you not see that so much of our society today has little ability in managing themselves, that the ability to control and manage yourself, set a course, follow it through, that has largely been lost. And see, last time when we were talking about liberty is messier than oppression in improving a society, it's actually more difficult, because if you're going to create liberty and improve the society, then there has to be individual development. Under oppression, there doesn't need to be any individual development. Just make them do it or make them suffer. But if there's liberty, there is that opportunity to not develop yourself. There is that opportunity to not make use of what is provided to you. Those are choices that people have to make. That comes down to self-government. That's the first jurisdiction. The second jurisdiction is the family. God made Adam, then he made Eve. Adam said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife." You see, in the home, that there is a family jurisdiction. The father and the mother are the head of that jurisdiction. They are the ones in authority in the home. Now, I'm not telling you what current society tells you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The mother and the father are the authority in the home. But when that child grows, then they move out. They establish their own home. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother." They leave that jurisdiction and establish a new jurisdiction. Now they are in authority over their home. Now, with this, the third one that I'll give you, which was established in chronological order, first was self-government, then family government. The third one was established in Genesis chapter 9, where God established human government. See, prior to the flood, there really wasn't a human government in place to punish. Matter of fact, God kind of told them, like with Cain killing Abel, he protected him. And so it allowed sin to run rampant. It allowed violence to run rampant. But coming off of the ark, God told Noah, he said, "By man," again, this is Genesis chapter 9, "if someone takes a person's life," they kill him, "then by man, their blood would be shed." At that point, God gave humans the right to have jurisdiction and to deal with issues of violations. In that particular case, he was talking about capital offenses. They killed someone. Now, the fourth one is the church. Jesus said, "On this rock, I will build my church. I will build my ecclesia." That's the fourth jurisdiction established by God. Now, the fifth one is business. If you would, that business one is really an outgrowth of the family. In the early days, it was just pretty much family businesses. But over time, people banded together, established business ventures, established corporations. And so out of that, there is another jurisdiction there, because in entering into covenants and agreements in business, that establishes some boundaries, which is a little bit different from just family, from church, from civil government. And so we have to understand that one as well. Well, stay with us through this commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
Welcome back. We're talking today about jurisdictions. God established four, and out of those four, there's a fifth one been developed. Those are self-government, family government, church or faith, and then civil government, and also business. Now, with this, jurisdictions establish boundaries. Jurisdictions establish boundaries. Every jurisdiction has a boundary. It's inherent within the concept of jurisdictions. Jurisdictions establish the lines of who has the right to say. Again, according to the site scholarship.law.duke.edu, they say that literally, jurisdiction means literally the power of saying what the law is. In other words, like let's take in my home when you know our sons are in their 20s, when they were little, my wife and I, we established the rules for our house. We established those rules. Now, there are people today that don't think parents should establish the rules. Well, what they're trying to get rid of is boundaries. The bottom line is you can never get rid of jurisdiction. The thing of it is, if you eliminate the boundaries for parents, then all you have done is you have alleviated, you have nullified a jurisdiction, and that jurisdiction now belongs to a different one. And at that point, what it falls into line with typically is the civil government. If parents do not have the jurisdiction in the home, then it's the government who has jurisdiction in the home. Going back to the Bill of Rights, which are the unalienable rights that aren't listed in the Declaration of Independence. Among those that were listed there, unlawful search and seizure. You can't do that. Why? Because as the family, you have jurisdiction over your home. Troops being sheltered or staying on your property or in your home, they cannot do that. Why? Because your home, your property, is your jurisdiction. It's not the jurisdiction of the federal government or the state government. Again, those Bill of Rights establish what the jurisdictions are. It establishes the lines of who has the right to say what's going on. And if I have jurisdiction, then you don't. If you have it, then I don't. In self-government, that means each one of us, we have liberty to make our choices. You see, that's one of the reasons why Congress shall make no law in establishing religion. Because I, as an individual, have the right under God to either believe in God or to not believe in Him. That is my call. That's my call. God has established it, just like eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God put it there, told them not to do it, but it was Adam and Eve's decision. They had the legal right to eat of the tree, didn't have the moral right to eat of it, but they had the legal right to eat of that tree. It was within their jurisdiction to eat it. But it was a violation of God's law. So they had to suffer the consequence, and we all suffer it as well as their offspring. See, jurisdiction establishes boundaries. Now, here's something that is extremely important to understand in this process, and that is the encroaching of one jurisdiction across the boundary of another jurisdiction is called tyranny. You see, today people think of tyranny primarily as, oh, well, that, you're making people do something they shouldn't do. That's wrong. You're being evil. The original meaning of the word tyranny actually came from a man, a ruler. His name was Tyrannus. And at that point, originally, if you go by the etymology, that he usurped the authority of the people. Very often, it was claimed to be for their good. There's a lot of usurping of authority in our society today that's being claimed to be for our good. You see, originally, tyranny did not have to do with intent. Was the intent bad? Was the intent good? For tyranny, it didn't matter. Tyranny was just purely the taking control of somebody else's jurisdiction. They had the right to determine it, but through whatever means, hook, crook, bullying, deception, you trick them into allowing you to determine what happens rather than allowing them to determine what happens. That's tyranny. Anytime one jurisdiction encroaches onto the territory of the other jurisdiction, that is tyranny. And again, you look at the Bill of Rights and you see there the lines that are drawn, and it establishes the jurisdiction. Well, stay with us and we'll be back for our closing segment.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
Closing segment, and we're talking about jurisdictions, and now I want to deal a little bit more with self-government, because when we understand jurisdictions and that self-government is the first and foremost jurisdiction, that's what explains what the founding fathers were saying, that the government that they established is wholly inadequate for a people that is not religious nor moral. Ultimately, the religious and the moral piece means that there is an internal governor. You know, like I remember when I was in school, and we would go to football games on the bus or baseball or track, whatever. I didn't play basketball. I went out for basketball one time, and I knew on day one I was going to get cut. But I hung around and made them cut me. But on all the others, when we went to these games, you know, this bus has got a governor on it. It can't go but so fast. These cars on the interstate are flying by us. And you're like, man, wish we could go faster. You see, when someone doesn't have an internal governor, that there's a lack of morality, an amoral situation where there are no morals, there isn't an external religious value that's establishing right and wrong for them, then it leaves them to be free to do what they want, follow their truth. Then at that point, your truth can end up being anything you want to make it to be. And liberty does not function well when that's the case, because when it's just whatever you want to make your truth to be, self-government goes out the window. Self-control goes out the window. And ultimately, self-government is the foundation of any successful government. Let's just take a little scenario here. Let's take an individual, man or woman, that, you know, they grow up, they do not have good self-government. They do not manage their jurisdiction properly. They get married. They get into a relationship with someone else. They create a family. That family, depending on how poor of a self-government that person exhibits, it will determine how poorly the government of the family functions. It will impact the well-being of the children. It will impact those children's future. If that person, and in this case, I'll use a man because statistically it's most frequently men, but if that man does not have self-control where he doesn't abuse his wife or his children, but he begins to beat on them. He begins to hit them and so forth and so on. Then at that point, he is impacting his wife. He's impacting his kids. And that produces negative results from one generation to the next. It's not because there's a problem with the marriage. There's a problem with self-government. Self-government is the foundation. And you see, ultimately, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Self-government is the biggest thing that people need to learn. So if you've got someone who doesn't have self-government, and so therefore when they enter into a family situation, they negatively impact that family because of their lack of self-government. They go to work and they don't have good self-government, so they don't show up on time. They don't do the work that they need to do. They don't really apply themselves. Again, because of that, they don't get as many raises as they could get, again, negatively impacting their family. But it also impacts the business because now they're having to try to manage someone that lacks self-government, where if the person just had self-government, all of them could focus on improving the company, improving the bottom line, and growth and prosperity for everyone. But then you've got that person, then they go to the voting booth. They don't have self-government. They're negatively impacting their family. They're negatively impacting the business where they work. And now they go and vote, and they vote for the person who promises them the most. They're not really voting for the best government. They're not voting for the best system. They're voting for what is best for them. Not what is best for their family, not what is best overall for the country and the nation. They're voting for just, will this make me happy? Will this? And you know, it doesn't matter what the long-term consequences are, because there is no self-government. There is no self-control there. And then you have a government that ends up being driven by self-interest. And if you would, in this last segment, I have summed up how we got to where we are as a nation right now and why our government is in the shape that it's in. And I'm not talking about one particular party. I'm talking about it all. Talking about it all. There's too much self-interest among politicians. We need to return to the values of self-government. That is where everything starts. It starts with having a moral compass. And with that, I encourage you, join us. Study this. Study what God says about government. Get engaged in the culture. Get engaged in the political system. Do more than vote. Find out and know things about candidates. Get engaged in that. Line with those that stand for biblical values. And as you do so, there will be those of you need to run for office, and you need to bring light, and you need to bring that self-government into those places so that there can actually be good government. Engage. Join us again next time. God bless you.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.